Atlanta, Georgia. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast with me, Pastor Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. We are so thankful that you have tuned in. And Paul was just telling me that today is D-Day. And it's like, I don't know if I want to say that because I accidentally called Pearl Harbor Day D-Day back in December. And somebody sent me an email about that. So today is D-Day. Today is D-Day. And so thank you for all of those men who fought valiantly for the freedom that we now enjoy. So praise the Lord. Want to take as many opportunities as I can to invite you out to the anniversary services that we're having. 65 years since a pastor was walking around a property on Grove Street in Merritt Island, and a man called out from inside what was a dance hall at that point in time, said, "Preacher, come in here." And he hadn't even knocked on the door or anything. The guy had just seen him walking around the property, praying over it. And he said, "God had told me that this was going to be a church." And 65 years later, we are still preaching the gospel and doing everything that we can to reach as many people with the good news of Jesus Christ as we can. And so we're going to be celebrating and believing God for refreshing, renewing, and empowering so that we can do a better job in advancing the kingdom of God here in this community. Saturday night, 6:30. At 165 North Grove Street, we're going to have a powerful, powerful time. And Sunday morning at 10:30, those are the two services that we are having. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is going to do there. If you'd like more information, give us a call. You should be receiving some information about that if you're in the Merritt Island area and you're saving Safari that comes out today. And, you know, maybe some flyers or things like that that you've seen around town. But Jerry Hill is a well-respected messenger of faith and has given her life for the advancement of the kingdom. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do this weekend. So if you can't come, would you please pray for us that that God would reign sovereignly in these meetings this weekend. Let's get back into the word today. Isaiah, the 65th chapter, the 13th verse. Isaiah 65, verse number 13. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes." So let's take a look at verse number 13, shall we? "Therefore, thus says the Lord God." Whenever you see a phrase like that, I want you to think of the authority that we find in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, "Let there be," and it was. When God speaks, he is not speaking just for entertainment value. When he's speaking, he is not speaking out of raw emotion like Peter did. When he speaks, he says what he means and he means what he says. And he speaks with authority. I remember hearing a story when I believe it was when I was in Bible college, and one of our missionaries had been ministering in a country, and there was a very belligerent person that was there in the crowd that day, and they were handing out tracts. You see, we don't pay that much attention to written material here in America, but in parts of the world where there are very remote areas, a piece of literature is highly prized. In some countries, just a page, one page of a Bible is treasured, and would be passed around from congregation member to congregation member. And then after people had an opportunity to memorize that, then they would pass that paper on to another church, and they would exchange until finally they had encountered the entire Word of God. And so this missionary was passing out tracts, and this very belligerent man took it and he shredded it into a whole bunch of pieces, and he tossed it up in the air, and he said, "That's what I think of the message that you are proclaiming." And the next day, the missionary was back in the same area, and the man who was very belligerent the day before came up to him and he said, "Could I please have one of those tracts?" And the missionary said, "But you're the man that was here yesterday. You're the man that when I gave you a tract, you tore it into 1,000 pieces and you tossed it up in the air. And why should I give you another tract if you're just going to do that all over again?" And he said, "Oh, I'm not going to do that." He said, "When I got home yesterday, I took off my sweater and there was a little piece of paper that was stuck. It was just a small portion of the tract that you had given to me, just a fragment. And all it said was, 'And God says,' and sir, all night long, I have been wondering, I've been trying to figure out, what is God saying?" And that man had a complete change of heart because he understood that it wasn't just a piece of paper. It wasn't just a philosophy. It is the decree of Almighty God. One of the things I'm really excited about with the Sounds of Heaven series that I've been teaching is that whenever we pray, whenever we worship, that there is divine activity at the throne room of heaven. There are things that begin to happen, the divine timeline. There's if I can put it this way, I love this. It is the divine response. There is something, you see, God speaks authoritatively. And so what he is talking about in this passage, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God." And so I am of the mindset, I don't like to argue with people. I just don't. And so if I can cause myself to refrain from interjecting my personal emotions or feelings or my statements, and if I can contain my belief system to "thus saith the Lord," so that whenever I'm in a discussion with somebody, I'm not defending Bob. I'm just saying, "Look, this is what God says. If you have a problem with it, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. Thus says the Lord." And so what begins to take place in the next few verses is a contrast between the benefits of being God's servant and the contrast of those who've rejected God as the authority in their life. Let's look at some of those. "My servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry." And he says, "Behold, that it's a..." Now listen to me. Don't miss this. There's going to be a distinction. There's going to be a distinction. "Thus saith the Lord." That means it's not a hypothesis. It's an actual event that just hasn't happened yet. But God says there's going to be a difference in the way my people are provided for versus those who've rejected me, there's going to be a difference between their actions and the actions of those who reject me, and there is going to be a difference in their spiritual status. I believe that it is an all-encompassing benefit to be a child of the living God. He says, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. And so let's not take for granted the food supply, shall we? Let's say, God, you know what? If you could take care of Elijah during a time of famine, and you could take care of a widow, if you could take care of a few million migrants that are coming out of Egypt on their way to the promised land, and you could feed them for 40 years in the wilderness, God, I'm pretty confident that you can take care of me. God, if you're going to sustain a population of the redeemed and the angelic host for all of eternity, I'm pretty sure that you can take care of my life in the here and now. Let's not get so focused on our trivial needs. I've got a series that I'm going to be preaching here whenever God tells me it's the time. And it's like, let's keep the focus on the things that we should be focused on, and let's trust into God's hands those things that God says he's going to take care of. And he says, if you're serving me, okay, now I want you to get the relationship there. If you're serving the Lord God, in medieval times, it was the servants who provided for the Lord. But in God's organizational system, in God's kingdom, it is the Lord who provides for the servant. It's flipped on its head from our understanding of history. You see, he's not interested in taxing you so that you can sustain his lifestyle. He's saying, if you will serve me, your life is going to be enriched. You're never going to be hungry. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Along the lines, same lines, he says, behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Jesus told the woman at the well that if you drink of the water that I have for you, you will never thirst again. I hope that you have reached that place where you realize that you have come too far in faith to turn back now. You know, there are too many people who are looking, how do I want to say? They examine their relationship with God with blinders on. They put blinders on horses so that they can't see what the other horses are doing. It restricts their peripheral vision. It keeps them from being distracted. It keeps them from seeing the panoramic view. And too many Christians look at it with a limited vision field, and all they can see is their pain and their discomfort and their hurt and their disappointment and all of that sort of stuff. And then they want to extrapolate that to encompass their entire relationship with God. But you see, I've tasted of God's blessing. I've drank of the water that he has provided. And I will tell you this, once you have tasted of God, once you have tasted of any heavenly provision that he's got for you, your taste buds will be forever changed. Nothing else will satisfy. And so he said, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. And so if you are thirsty, I want to invite you to come and taste of what God has to offer. I'm turning over to Revelation chapter 22 for just a moment. And let me see if I can find the verse that I am looking for. In verse number 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You see, if you're willing to come, Jesus is willing to satisfy. you see, there's a longing inside of you that, and inside of me, all of us were created with it, that we have a longing for the things of God, and nothing else is going to satisfy. And so let's go on and look at our contrast again between the servants of God. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Okay? Have you ever seen anybody who hated their job? You know, they could set themselves and they could do their job, but they really didn't enjoy it. I believe that God's servants rejoice at the privilege of being a servant of God. David said, I'd just as soon be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He is a great, great God to work for. I don't have to sit up on the throne. I would rather him be on the throne. I'll just keep the door. I'll just hold the door open. I'll keep the enemies out. I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I just enjoy serving him. Wherever he wants me to serve, that's what I want to do. So I want you to do a little bit of self-evaluation today and say, are you happy serving God? Are you rejoicing in your ability to serve God? Because what a great honor, what a great privilege. I remember how excited I was when I got a job selling shoes for J.A.'s Hush Puppy Shoes in 1985. I remember how excited I got a job. And then you get to say, oh no, I've got to go to work. And, you know, but if you've ever been without a job, you realize what a thrill it is to be able to have one so that you can earn a living, so that you can put a roof over your family's head and you can have food on the table. You see, if we lose the joy of whatever level we are serving in, pretty soon that is going to be taken away. You see, I remember distinctly what it was like when my company that I was working for, the company that brought me to Florida, when that company went out of business and I was left without a source of income. But I will tell you this, I wasn't left without a provider. I wasn't left without a provider. You see, over the, I think it was about 3 weeks that it took me to find another job. I was supposed to have a job my one job would end and then my new job would start the next day. And about a week before, I was told that that wasn't going to be a reality. And so I'd worked really hard and my parents, made a way for me to come and visit them. So I spent a week out there. And then when I came back, I worked diligently to find a job. It took me about 3 weeks. I found a job that lasted about 3 months. It wasn't a good fit for me, but I can tell you during that 3 weeks where I did not have a job, it was like, how in the world do people adjust to the mindset that they don't have anything to do? I will tell you, when I didn't have a job to go to, I wasn't having more joy. I had less joy. You've got a purpose that God had created you for, and you are going to find that the greatest source of joy you ever have will be serving God in the capacity he created you to. Find that assignment. Find it, and then serve him with joy. It goes on and said, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of joy. So here again, we see the contrast. The joy that God's servants have are going to manifest in a song. Around our house, there used to be a thing called Silly Songs with Larry from VeggieTales. That was during that all popped up in a window in between youth ministry assignments. But long before there were Silly Songs with Larry, there were Silly Songs from Bob. And I mean, anything could become a song. And my kids would have these groan moments. Oh, that song is just so terrible. And, you know, my voice they didn't really think my musical skills are all that much either. And so it was just a real groaner. But guess what? Now they all have that ability to come up with some of those lines, and we enjoy being around one another, getting to hang out with one another whenever it comes up. And the joy that we have from the relationship and the purpose that God has given to us, it manifests in the words that come out. Okay? When you go to church, I hope that you're not singing, "You have made me mad," or "You have made me sad," but instead, "You have made me glad, God. I'm thrilled to be able to join the throngs that are approaching the throne of grace in worship." Worship should be something that is an expression of our joy of serving God, not just because it's a song that is popular on the radio. Okay? And so I pray that you don't, because if we shut off the outflow, if we choose not to serve him and worship him with the words of our mouth, the alternative here is sorrow of heart and grief of spirit, and our names being accursed, labeled a derogatory name instead of a source of blessing. Okay? Isaiah 61, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I want to challenge you today. I'm not asking you to praise God for all of the events that have happened to you, but to praise him because he is such a wonderful Lord to you. If you can't praise him for the circumstances, praise him because he's holy. Praise him because the devil thought he was going to take you out by now, but God has sustained you. There are a lot of different reasons to praise God. I can find a reason for you to praise God if you and I were to sit down and talk for any length of time. But what I can't do is I can't make you praise him. I can find a reason for you to praise him, but I can't make you praise him. That's something that you have got to do. But if we choose to shut off the valve of worship, it is going to lead to sorrow of heart and grief of spirit that is going to come out of our mouth as an expression of sorrow. Wailing is not something that is supposed to be representative of the kingdom of heaven. It is more descriptive of the declarations that come out of hell, where there is weeping and gnashing and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Okay, that's that reality. And so I don't know about you, but I want the words that come out of my mouth to be a song of joy more than a wail of grief. Verse number 15, instead of your name being a derogatory term, God says he's going to call his servants by another name. I will tell you this, if you will serve God faithfully at whatever level you have been asked to serve now, that he will cause you to be promoted. And with that promotion will become another name, another title. And if you serve him faithfully there, he will give you another name, another title. And so be faithful to serve. There are some people who have the mindset that says, I am not going to serve in any capacity until I have the title that goes along with those responsibilities. I want you to know that's not the way that the kingdom works. The kingdom says, serve and serve faithfully, and then he will add more unto that. If you serve him faithfully with 2 talents, he will give you more. If you serve him faithfully with 5, he will give you more. If you serve faithfully with 10, he is going to give you more. It is the way the kingdom works. You demonstrate faithfulness at level A, and he will take you to level B. But if you have that mindset that says, not until you do this am I going to serve in any sort of capacity, you are going to find yourself waiting a very, very long time. Verse number 16, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. And so I want to encourage you today, if you want to be a blessing, bless yourself in God. If you want to be blessed, bless yourself in God. Say, God, I don't really know what's going on right now, but I'm going to faithfully serve you. I'm going to be faithful in the house of God. I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be faithful on my job. I'm going to be faithful in my finances. God, I know this. I'm going to be faithful to you. And as a result of that, you are going to bring even greater blessing into my life. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Interesting concept. How do you define blessing? A lot of times we define blessing as a financial blessing. Sometimes a blessing is an answer to prayer. Sometimes a blessing is having a need met, a healing that comes your way. But God here says, if you want to bless yourself in this life, in this realm that we now live, bless yourself in the God of truth. So that when you sit there and read your Bible, you're saying, God, I'm so thankful. This is a blessing to me that you, when you get to come together and worship, God, I am so blessed to be here right now. And so don't embrace the deception. Don't embrace the distractions that the world has to offer. And it says, let him who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Another translation identifies that as trouble. Jesus didn't pray to take us out of this world. He prayed that in this world that we would be kept through his name, and we would be kept as one, even as he and the Father are one. And so, in this world, we'll have troubles, but Jesus didn't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And, you know, I'm so thankful for a bad memory. I'm thankful that I don't have to remember every painful thing that has happened to me. I'm thankful that I can choose to remember the blessings of God rather than the troubles of men. And I'd be lying to you to say that we haven't been through difficult seasons. And I'd be lying to say that there's some of them that I don't remember. I do remember some of them, but I tell you, every one of them I remember the grace of God that was greater than the trouble that, that came my way. I pray you have a bad memory today when it comes to remembering trouble, and a good memory when it comes to remembering the goodness of God. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.